This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, July 14th, 2024. The Olympics, training, and teamwork.
Yeah! Well, good morning, Connection Church. Yeah, you know, we were going to have an Olympic flame up here that we were going to light, but the insurance company said no. So, there you go. It's good to be with you this morning. Amen. Amen. Beautiful day. And it's a good day to be focused on God, as is every day. Right? Every day. So in less than 2 weeks, we'll be having the opening ceremonies for the 2024 Olympic Games held in Paris, France this year. Right? Paris, France. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to use the Olympics as a springboard to talk about aspects of the Christian faith.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. It is great to see all of you here today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice
and be glad
in it. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am happy to be here. Last week I was hobbling a bit. This week is a bit better. And I'm scheduled for some arthroscopic surgery on Thursday. So I know some of you have been wondering. Everything's moved very quickly, and it's been great.
And back to 100% on Friday, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be, you know, doing flips up the aisle on Sunday.
Mark that, Barry.
I don't know.
Flips up the aisle.
I have people telling me all their war stories right now. So, yeah. Let's go ahead and pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for today, and it's such a good day. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. Thank you that we could be together and encourage one another, listen to your word, and see how to apply that in our lives. Lord, we just want to give you all the honor and the glory, so open our hearts, remove any distractions so that we can have laser focus on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, this morning, as Alan said, we're launching into that Olympic theme. That just really got me in the mood watching John Williams direct that, and that whole theme was just so awesome. Today, we're talking about training and teamwork. So let's start with training. Training. The dictionary definition of training: teaching a person or an animal a particular skill or type of behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. Training, then, is really a big part of what you do to train for the Olympics. No matter what the sport, countless hours are spent. I can remember reading articles of the ice skaters up at UD where they would just, you know, these young girls and guys up there like all day just spending on the rink in order to prepare their bodies, to prepare their minds, to get that endurance and that stamina for what happens every 4 years, and there's stuff in between for the Olympics.
Mm. So training takes patience and dedication. It takes perseverance and inspiration. It also oftentimes takes a lot of perspiration, right? Yeah, yeah. So I never liked training much. Whether it was training to like play the drums or training to play a sport. Some people love to train. But how many people here really don't like training much? Okay, so I'm not alone. Good.
I told the first service, though, Alan, you did not need to train to play the drums because you got me, and we met each other in the drum line at Newark High School. And
so, unlike what we're going to preach today, you don't have to train to get the prize. Is that what you're telling us?
Correct.
Okay. That was the exception to the rule.
True.
Because you generally have to. Now, I kind of like bike riding. Anybody here like to ride the bike? Yeah. So there's a thing called the Amish bike tour, if you've ever heard of it. It's in Dover. And unlike some of these things where you start one end, the other end, and somebody's got to pick you up, this, you start at the green, and you travel and you come back to the green, so you don't have to have somebody wait there and pick you up. And you can go 16, 25, 50, 100 miles. You can also do 62 miles, which is 100K. Now, first couple of years I did like 16 because I wasn't riding that much. And then I got up to 25. And then a couple years I was really diligent. I really did train in that case. And I was able to do 50 miles. Of course, when I got done, I literally fell off the bike and crawled over. But I did get 50 miles. And then I didn't train for a couple years because of, I think I had some medical issues and some stuff, surgery or something going on. And I only did, I think, 25 a couple times, maybe. But I'd love to do 62. 100K, that's a good goal. But you know what I have to do if I'm going to reach that? I have to be diligent about my training, right? That key word is training. No matter what, you've got to train, train, train. And so whether it's the Olympics, I'm not going to the Olympics, or the Amish bike tour, that's definite because I've already paid the money for that. It takes training. It takes training. Whatever we do, training is the key.
If you do the 62, I'll take you and pick you up because it'll be hard for you to drive home after that.
There we go. I'll crawl to the car.
Yeah, I got you. So, in the book of Proverbs, we hear about training. This is a great verse. Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. So this training isn't Olympic training. This is life training, but specifically spiritual training. Training about things of God. Training about right and wrong. Training about kindness and compassion. Training about looking out for others. Training about anything that has to do with maybe it's not about me, but doing the right thing, righteous living, you know, the right way that God wants us, letting God order our steps. And so that's our job as parents, as grandparents. And I want to even say, as anybody here in this church, we can have a part in training up our children. I want to say thank you to each one of you for your tithes and offerings, because that helps train up children and youth in our church. And you've already seen some of the impact of that. So I was just told that Emma, Kirstie is over there and she's like very pregnant. And she wasn't feeling, I want to say very pregnant, and by the way, still serving. So kudos to you. And you weren't feeling well. And you were with your husband and Emma, and Emma put her hand on Kirstie and started praying for her mother. Now that's training up a child. Emma's here at most weeks. Emma is in a household where she's learning about Jesus. So that was her response. Isn't that a great go-to response? It just kills me when I hear parents say, I'm going to let my child decide. Oh, you're going to let your kid decide whether they're going to go to school or not? Oh, you're going to let your kid decide whether they brush your teeth or not? You know, this stuff of spiritual training is more important than any of that. We're here to help guide our kids or our grandkids or our neighbors' kids or the kids in this church in any way, whether it's prayer, tithes, service. This is our responsibility to train the children. You know, this let them choose? No. No. I am, you know, as a grandmom, as a Ree and a Poppy, we have a great opportunity with our grands because they're just like, you know, okay. So in the mornings when we take Harper and Nolan to the bus stop at the beginning, it's like, come on, we're going to pray. And they're like, what? Well, now it's like, bring it in. And they're praying. I mean, this is how we train. This is how it happens. And so train them. That's what we need to do. It's biblical. Mm-hmm. Train them.
Our children, I don't think they even knew they had a choice until
they didn't.
They got out of the house. It was just automatic Sunday morning. It wasn't will we won't. It was automatic.
Well, and the thing is,
business as usual.
On any given Sunday, I can go down the list of all of them, and they're all sitting in church somewhere or serving. It's because that was part of their training. And God's grace.
And God's grace.
Because sometimes it doesn't work out like
and
that.
God's
I'm not
grace,
being cavalier
for sure.
About it.
Yeah. So what happens when we're no longer kids? You know, I guess our need for training is finished, right? We need no more training because we were trained up as children. No, wrong, hardly. Paul talks to us about this, and he has a couple letters in there to his protege, Timothy. And here's what he says in his first letter, 1 Timothy, 1 chapter 3 to 5, verse 3 to 5. I urge you, as I did when I was on my way to Macedonia, to remain in Ephesus so that you may instruct. See that? So that you may instruct certain people not to teach different teaching. There were heresies. There's always heresies. Not to teach those different teachings and to not occupy themselves with what? Myths. Myths. And endless genealogies that promote speculations rather than what should you be teaching? The divine training that is known by faith. But the aim of such instruction is what? What is it?
Love.
What is it?
Love.
L-O-V-E. Love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Wow. That's packed, isn't it? That's packed. Paul encourages Timothy to keep teaching, teaching on track, not allowing certain people to teach different teaching. That weird stuff that's been creeping in, those ideas that don't have any business in what we're talking about here. And myths. You don't want myths, and you don't want these endless family histories. You want people centered, and they want them centered on divine instruction. God-centered, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-centered instruction. Faith-centered instruction. The aim of the instruction, Paul says, is love. That's the center of everything, isn't it? In God's world, God is love. That's what it's all about, a love. And love comes from a pure heart. Pure heart. That doesn't mean that you've been in and had it cleaned out by the heart surgeon. I mean, that's important to have that kind of a pure heart. But this is different. Spiritually pure heart, right? Spiritually pure heart. And comes from a good conscience. Good, doing the right thing. Choosing the right choices. Love that comes from sincere faith in Jesus Christ. You depend on Him. You count on Him. You rely on Him faithfully. It's pretty simple. Divine instruction that is faith-centered, love-centered. That's what our training is. It doesn't get more simple than that, does it? Faith-centered, love-focused. Faith-centered, love-focused. That's what it's all about here.
So that's 1 Timothy 1. If we go ahead to the fourth chapter, Paul continues to talk about training, and he starts to focus on physical training, but he moves on to, here you go. Train yourself in godliness.
Ooh.
In godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way. How way? Every way. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So physical training for the Olympics, that's one thing. But godly training for godliness to know Christ is valuable in every single way. Training in how to be show more mercy, to be grace-filled, to forgive as we are forgiven, to be compassionate, to see this world from a God perspective. Can you imagine when you're having a bad day or when somebody is really bugging you, you just stop and say, okay, I am going to put on glasses like like I'm going to pretend to put on God glasses. Everything would change if we saw things from God perspective. Everything. And that's what this is all about. Training ourselves in godliness. And the really cool thing is that holding promise, there's a promise that's associated with that. For this present life, it certainly does make this life worthwhile. And for the life to come, eternity, forever with Jesus Christ.
Those two scriptures from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, here's what we read. All scripture is inspired by God. Some other versions say God breathed, God inspired, and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient. And what's those last five words? Say it with me. Equipped for every good work. Equipped for every good work. We've given what we need for every good work. If we're in the scriptures, if we're reading God's word. Scripture, useful among other things, it's a training manual for righteousness. It's the training manual for aligning with God, for living God's way. If you're training for godliness, the Bible is the training manual you should be using. It tells us everything, capital E, everything that we need for God-centered, Jesus-focused, Holy Spirit-inspired living. It doesn't get much better than that, does it? You couldn't ask for anything more.
So when we were young parents...
Long time ago,
we knew that we really needed to get to know what was in the Bible, how to parent, how to be the best we could be. I was a nurse, Alan was in insurance, and we had, Devin was 2, Megs was 4, Aaron was 5, and we enrolled in something called Disciple Bible Study. It was, I think, 32 weeks, and it was where you read about 70% of the Bible. You meet in small group on site for 32 weeks, and we got a babysitter, an entire year babysitter once a week, so that we could learn about God. We didn't have much then, but it was such a priority for us because we knew that we were lost without knowing what God says. And for me, we got to read scripture, talk about it. I can remember when we did John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I remember turning to my friend, it was John Meredith. We just burst out laughing, like, what does that mean? Well, I understand it more now, but that was really, we studied that, and we got to know it, and it was helpful. And it was a training ground for us to bring us right where we are here. For me, it helped me fall in love with God and God's Word.
And I think it's one of the things that started me on the path to ministry, as we are today. You know, this type of training, spiritual training, it's not a once in a while, now and then take it or leave it, maybe not kind of training. It's dedicated daily. Keep your eye on the prize regimen of exercises, keeping God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the center of our thoughts, of our action, of our prayers. And this training involves more than just reading the Bible, although that's central. That's primary. Reading the Bible, thinking about it carefully, discussing it, praying on that. But it involves exercises taken from the spiritual disciplines that include but aren't limited to prayer, Bible study, devotion, fasting, tithing, meditation, worship, fellowship. The list goes on. And that's because the more God is in our thoughts, the more God's in our prayers, the more God is in our actions, the more we focus on Him. Hey, makes sense, doesn't it? We're God-centered, and the more we're focused on Him, then the less time we have to focus on this person and making me the center of the universe. Amen? Amen. There you go.
So I was on a conference call earlier this week with a consultant from Right Now Media. Does that sound familiar to anybody, Right Now Media?
How many use that? Wow. Good.
Okay, great. And we would like every single person to use that. It is an online library. There are a couple thousand studies in Right Now Media. You pay for that through your tithes and offerings, so we subscribe to it yearly. There is so much on Right Now Media.
It's like 20,000, isn't
yeah.
it, Barry?
25,000.
Oh, I'm sure.
Wow.
25,000.
And it's stuff on, you know, women's studies, men's studies, marriage, relationship, how to be a Christian at work, all kinds of books of the Bible. And so if you aren't in a small group or if you want to supplement what you're doing, go on Right Now Media. There's right here at your fingertips. You can get trained. Now you can do that QR code and it'll take you to the forum and you can fill it out. And it is really, really good stuff. So Right Now Media, do it. It's really good. All right, 1 Corinthians 9. Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish the body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified."
So this passage applies both to Olympic and Olympic-type training as well as spiritual training. And that's because training keeps us focused on the prize. As you're training, we're thinking about that end goal, that prize. It keeps us from running aimlessly. Keeps us focused. It keeps us from boxing through the air. You know, you have something you're striking against. Keeps us striving for that imperishable prize. In the old Olympics, was back in Greece. They strove for a wreath of a laurel wreath. Laurel wreath, they're green and then they turn brown and then they get fade. We don't strive for imperishable prize. We strive for an imperishable prize, one that doesn't fade away. We strive to live at peace, knowing we have eternal life. That's where the imperishability comes from. It's eternal, with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Training keeps us focused on that non-perishable eternal prize. But in addition to training, we have teamwork. We're talking about that today also. Teamwork. That's this morning, training and teamwork.
You know, Father, Son, Spirit, team. We're a team. Teamwork. It's actually one of our core values here at Connection Church. Teamwork. Every person is a part of a team. Our team that serves the coffee, our team that does the kids, our team that's doing the tech, our team that's doing the music, our team that prays every week. There's team, team, team. Everything is centered around team because it's meant to spur one another on. It's meant to encourage one another. Teamwork. Now, in the Olympics, there might be some individual events where, you know, they compete individually, but they're still part of a team. And collectively, it really means something. And so teamwork, it's synergy. I love teamwork. To assemble a team, and when team works well, Isn't that awesome when it's a really well-oiled team? There's nothing like it. It just, it feeds, it gets exciting. It spurs me on, it spurs us on.
Here at Connection Church, from the beginning, if you had an idea for ministry, a new idea, why don't we try this? Hey, I don't care, what about this? We're gonna ask you three questions. First, how does it connect with our mission? And our mission is connecting people with Jesus, say it with me,
and the new life he offers.
How does it connect with that in some, it can be broad, but some way? How? Number two, who's gonna do it with you? In other words, who's your team? Because we aren't lone rangers here. No one person has all that they need to make a new ministry. Who is your team? And of course, third, how are you going to pay for it?
But we've got to say that we don't do fundraisers to pay for individual ministries.
Right. So
we've got to figure it out together.
Where's it going to come?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are the three questions you'll always hear. And the middle one is teamwork, isn't it? The middle one's teamwork. Whoever here has heard the word synergy? Synergy. Yeah, that's a good word. Synergy. Synergistic relationship means that the whole is more valuable than just simply a sum of the parts. The whole is, it works better, it has more value than all the individual parts just added together. And so we find that same synergistic relationship when we have teamwork in our Christian walk. Here's what we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24, 25. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the, notice that's capital D day, not just a day, the day that Jesus is coming again, day approaching. That's an interesting word there in the middle, though. Provoke. Provoke usually means to stir up, doesn't it? To rattle, to kind of give a hard time to. Yeah, what's that doing here? To provoke love and good deeds. They seem kind of like an oxymoron thing there. In the New International Version of Scripture, it's to spur on. To spur on. And what's interesting, these two words, that the root of them, the Greek word that they come from is paroxysmos. And that word means to incite or irritate. This is getting more interesting by the minute, isn't it? It sounds negative, especially incite or irritate, to provoke, to spur, but it's kind of like we do with a horse. You know, you wear spurs with a horse, and you would spur it on by you kicking with that little pointy thing, and that spurs him to move a little faster, to get in there. And so we spur the person on, we provoke it, we irritate it in order to encourage it to go faster. And so let us consider how to provoke, how to spur on, how to irritatingly encourage. How do you like that? Is anybody here an irritating encourager? Yeah, that's pretty funny, isn't it? But it's true. And irritating, you're a little spur, you're a little burr in their side to keep them moving, to encourage them to love and to good deeds. And all the more when we see the capital D day, the second coming of Christ on the horizon. Yeah.
So that's what teammates do. They spur one another on to love and good deeds. It's an encouragement. It is such an encouragement that we get to come here on Sunday morning and other times through the week and encourage each other. I remember during the pandemic, it was so lonely. Like it was Barry Allen and I here preaching, and Barry would put your faces, they were taped to the chairs.
But we'd say amen, and you didn't respond.
No. But this is meant to be an encouragement to each other. It's like fuel for the week. We got this. Let's go. We're in it together kind of thing. It just doesn't feel right sometimes when we miss, you know, we're part of the body, you know, it's crazy. But teammates spur one another on. Coaches, managers, there's synergy in team.
Yeah, like our church softball team. Does anybody hear from the softball team? There, Kyle in the back there.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. And oh yeah, there we go.
All right, Bruce.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, you know the church softball team isn't one or two guys, but the whole team. Both those guys on the field and those guys on the bench, each guy contributing his part using his gifts. And there's different gifts, but each using their gifts to make the team better and encouraging one another, spurring one another on, and the coaches as well. And, you know, that coaching, is sometimes it's clapping and cheering and sometimes it's taking that teachable moment. You know what I mean by the teachable moment, that point in time where this is a good opportunity for me to tell you how you might do that a little better. Not to be negative, but to encourage you to be all you can be. And sometimes to do that, it's by pointing out, by being irritatingly encouraging, right? As we said before, for a better outcome, to help everyone use all of their God-given talents. And just a reminder, Monday 6:15 against Cornerstone at Middletown Baptist. There we go.
So, Alan, what is your role on the team?
My role is if they get down to a number of guys on the team where they're going to have to forfeit, I'll play. And the reason for that is, at this point, I was never very good at softball, but at this point, I had to relearn how to throw a ball because I hadn't thrown one for 10 years. I can't hit like I can, certainly can't run like I used to. And so my job isn't to be a player who's going to hit runs in. I go to be an encourager. Or if I'm there, they may let me coach third base, which I like to do because I'm very aggressive and we'll get some runs out of it. But I try to help the guy, encourage them to keep them kind of motivated. That's what I do.
That's part of a team,
yeah.
Even though you're not on the field.
There's a couple of us old guys. That's our job, to be encouragers.
Jeff Kring and Mark Hudson, he's out there. And Alan.
And Sheldon.
And Sheldon are the encouragers, and they're there every week.
Well, Sheldon's the man. Sheldon's the GM, yeah?
Yeah.
He was, years ago, he was a player on our team, but he's a GM now. And he enjoys that because he can take his knowledge and he can share it with other guys and help them. And
so I was talking to Anthony, who was in the cage today, and he's on the team. And I said something about you being there, and he goes, "Your pastoral presence."
Oh.
Because I figured that sometimes when the guys get a little hot-headed, you might be able to...
Oh, no, I'll get hot. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'll calm them down, yeah. That's right. I'll do what I'm supposed to.
So... As brothers and sisters, we are called to support and care and love one another, watch out for one another in love, encourage one another, maybe provoking each other to do better. There are people, you've heard me say this, that, you know, I say, you have permission to speak into my life. Like, you know, sometimes we don't want unsolicited advice, but, you know, I'll swallow hard if I get it. But there's some people that I say, give me that. And anytime I need it, because that helps spur me on to be better, to live for Christ in a way that I miss the mark. And so that's why it's important to do this all together in love. Now, we've been talking about teamwork and we've been talking about training, and it's all about Jesus. But when it comes to Jesus, this is where, yeah, we can be together, but that relationship is one-on-one. I can't make you accept Jesus. You can't make me accept Jesus. I can pray for you, but it's your choice whether to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. We cannot do that for each other. So that needs to be first, that, you know, where are we in that? some of you here might be on the edge, and that's great. I think it's awesome that you're here, because that's not an accident. And we're just saying, take one more step, one more step, one more step. And at some point, Jesus really becomes real. It might be this like big, like, wow, like, or it could be gradual. Like, okay, I'm different, I'm different, I'm different. Wow, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But we not only have a physical birthday, we have a spiritual birthday. I honestly don't know what the date of my spiritual birthday is, but I know when I gave Jesus the wheel and said, okay, I'm pretty much done. I do yank the wheel back sometimes, but you've got it most of the time. So we're glad you're here. Wherever you are on that continuum, just keep on keeping on. Keep showing up. And so keep reading your scripture. Get in a training program. It's important.
So the question then is, how about you? Are you training, seriously training? Are you training your children in the right way? Are you training your grandchildren? Are you helping train children here at church? You know, praying with them, sharing scripture with them, showing them by the way you act what it means to be a Christ follower. Are you someone they can look at and see Jesus right there in front of them? Are you training yourself through the spiritual disciplines? What we said before, we'll say it again. Prayer, Bible study, devotion, fasting, tithing, meditation, worship, fellowship. You know, the list continues. And then the question is there teamwork in your life? Are you a lone ranger, or is there spiritual teamwork in your home, in your workplace? You don't have to work in the church to have spiritual teamwork. And, you know, maybe there's a couple other believers. Maybe you can find time to get together and pray or whatever that might look like. In your off hours, it's your time in your neighborhood or on a ball team. Or are you part of a small group that helps you study the Bible? And not just that, though, they hold you accountable, maybe, and you hold each other accountable, because that's important in your Christian walk. Not in ways, you're not holding them accountable that are judgmental and prideful, like, no, but in love and in mercy and in grace. Training and teamwork, they're crucial. They're crucial for those in the Olympics, but they're especially crucial for those of us here at church, those of us who are followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's the good news. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's pray. Most holy God, I just ask that you would help us to realize our need for training, continual training, and our need for teamwork. Help us to know that we're not lone rangers, Lord, that you give us different gifts, and those gifts work together to help us work together for your glory. Please help us to be ever mindful, Lord, that we're never done, that the training continues, and that we're not by ourselves, Lord. That's why we're here together, why we're here in fellowship, why we're here in worship. You know, there's time to be alone. There's time for alone prayer. There's time for alone Bible study. There's time. But then there's also time when we need to be together. We need one another. I thank you for giving us other believers that we can share together the challenges, the glories, and just everything in a life of praise and fellowship and worship. I thank you, we praise you and glorify your holy name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all those gathered said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-3700.
7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life He offers.